This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. talk@talklouisiana.org is our email, and our signature support comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Foster Campbell will come in the second segment, so we begin with Ara Rubin, the head of the Jewish Film Festival, and he is substituting on late notice for Dante Stewart, the provocative writer who hopefully will join us Wednesday. He had a family emergency, but we intended to have Ara on this week because Ara Rubin is the person who is at the controls of one of the treasures of our community. It is 17 years, started by his late father-in-law, Harvey Hoffman, who used to grace this studio. But the Jewish Film Festival, like many other things in our community, had to make some adjustments during the COVID age, and this will be the first full-bloom festival since 2019. And good morning to you, Ara Rubin.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
The man from the Motor City.
Oh, yeah.
Who came to Baton Rouge. And
I've never been to Louisiana before I moved here.
And you met the beautiful Julie Hoffman.
Julie Hoffman.
Who is a voice synonymous with WRKF. And the family has been the mastermind spearheading the Jewish Film Festival. And Ara Rubin, I know it's a case in which you're available for public consumption at the Manship Theater, one of the great venues in North America, four times this week, and it starts this Wednesday.
Thank you. Yeah, we're showing four films. We've got a comedy. We've got a documentary. We've got two dramas. Weirdly enough, we have two films about men in basements, and we'll talk about that later, how that happened. Yeah, we open on Wednesday evening with a film called Karaoke. It's about a husband and wife who are a little bit on in age. They've been married almost 50 years. And, you know, the bloom is off the rose. He's kind of grumpy. She's kind of ignoring him. And then a flashy, rich tenant moves into their apartment building in the penthouse and kind of turns the whole thing upside down.
This is Wednesday?
This is Wednesday. It's called Karaoke, an Israeli film. And then on Thursday, actually Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, kind of an interesting confluence of films and where we're at right now in our lives, in history. The Thursday film is about Albert Speer. It's called Speer Goes to Hollywood. It's a documentary, English, in English. And it tells the story of the highest-ranking Nazi who escaped the death penalty at Nuremberg, served 30 years in prison, was Hitler's architect, but really was Hitler's mastermind of the slave labor that they used throughout his regime. He gets out of prison and then decides he's going to rehabilitate. And this is a true story. It's a documentary. Decides he's going to rehabilitate his image by getting Paramount Pictures to partner with him to create a feature film about the life of Albert Speer. And that's all I'll say because it kind of unrolls as you watch it in real time. Our third and fourth films, Saturday and Sunday, are the basement films. You know, Dylan had the basement tapes. We've got the basement films. first one is called The Man in the Basement, and it's a French film. And it's about a couple who owns an apartment in a building. And I guess in France, it's not unusual that you also get some storage space that you can rent out, which they do, to a guy who's a history professor, seems kind of mild-mannered, and then he turns into, gradually, step by step, kind of into a monster. And I'm told it's based on a true story. I haven't done any digging on that. But he turns out to be a Holocaust denier, starts hitting on the daughter.
This is Saturday?
This is Saturday. Okay. And then on Sunday.
Well, and but the times for Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and by the way, Friday is the traditional.
We take that off.
Take that off for obvious reasons.
Right. The Wednesday and Thursday shows are 7 p.m.
Okay.
The Saturday show is 7:30.
Okay.
And then our Sunday show is a matinee at 3 p.m. So the Sunday matinee is also about a guy in a basement. Weirdly enough, also a French film. This is totally a coincidence, but it's a reversal because the man in the basement is the owner of a jewelry shop in wartime France. He sends his family off in 1941 or 42 away out of the country. He has a wife and some small children. He follows them but can't get out. And so he comes back and he has cut a deal with his assistant jeweler, who is not Jewish, and says, look, while I'm away, you're going to buy my shop and keep it going. And when I come back, I will buy it back from you. And the guy says, I don't have that kind of money. And the jeweler says, I'll give you the money, take care of the shop. And then he can't get out. And when he comes back, he has to hide out in the basement. And it tells the story of this reversal. The top guy is now on the bottom, bottom guy's on top. And it's an interesting psychological thriller.
You're pretty good at presenting these films. There are four of them. That's one each night, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And that's 7, 7, and 7:30. And then the Sunday matinee is
3 p.m.
at 3 p.m.
at the Manship.
And for those who would like to participate, as in attend, what's the best way to do that?
Best way to do it is to go to our website, brjff.com, Baton Rouge Jewish Film Festival. You can buy tickets, you can watch trailers. We also have the VIP Movie Club, which is free. You can subscribe and we'll send you free tickets to opening night because we want you to see all the trailers for the rest of the shows. And there's some other goodies and freebies and whatnot.
BRJFF.com.
Yep.
And it's the 17th. Harvey Hoffman was in this studio when it all began.
Yep.
And I guess, based on the fact that this is the 17th, that would have been 2007. I know
that's
how it works.
The first, yes, yep.
2007.
You got it.
And it's taken a life of its own. And this is something, as we know, is not exclusive for people of the Jewish tradition.
Right.
There are all kinds of people who show up. People like me show up on occasion.
People like you show up. I think the majority of our audience is non-Jewish because the Jewish community in Baton Rouge is tiny. We recently, you know, there's the old joke about the synagogue you belong to and the one you wouldn't be caught dead in. We have merged those now. And United Jewish Congregation of Baton Rouge. And that's a whole separate track. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll do a show on that at some point.
Well, that's where the announcement was made on show, but
we need
a follow up.
Yeah.
I remember Jack Kunstler was on this show and he said, I'm the dictator.
he said it, not me.
Barry in Mid City. Barry, good morning. You're on with Ara Rubian.
Ara, it's
Barry.
Hi. I just wanted to call in and thank you and everyone responsible for these movies. They are wonderful. We come as often as we can.
Yep.
And what a gift you all present for our
city. Well, thank you. We're looking forward to seeing you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much. God bless.
Barry is an advocate, as you would suspect he would be. But the venue is great, and for those who have been to other performances at the Manship Theater, it's also an exceptional place to watch a film, and you'll have a chance to watch four of them. A listener, this is Holly in the Garden District, says, how are the films chosen? Who makes, are you the dictator?
No, it's a collaborative effort. Julie and I will screen a lot of films. Actually, she's the first line of viewing. She'll screen a lot of films, and the ones that she likes, we'll both watch. Her taste is very good. She has a very good sense of the audience and what they will likely sit through. We probably watch 10 films for every one we pick, and it's, you know, it's a real experience.
But a labor of love.
A labor of love.
And these films, another listener says, are they like 5 minutes? And the answer is no.
These are feature films. or documentaries. We have shown shorts in the past. This year we don't have any, but maybe next year we will.
Well, and we're glad you're taking this to heart and doing fine work. Took the mantle from his father-in-law, one of the fine gentlemen to ever inhabit this community.
Great guy.
Great man, Harvey Hoffman. And it all would not have happened if Ara and Julie had not met on eHarmony, and the rest is history, right?
Right. I was thinking about that the other day. We met 20 years ago this year. So this, you know, and we got married a year later. And that, again, that's a whole other story.
Well, it brought you to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, it did. It did, and I'm happy.
It's great that you're active, the man from Detroit, as is Julie Hoffman, whose voice is synonymous with WRKF. Good luck. And it's BRJFF.com. We're back with Foster Campbell after this time out on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Foster Campbell is with us, celebrating 20 years as a member of the Public Service Commission. He was elected in 2002, took office January 1, 2003, and prior to that served in the Louisiana Senate for 27 years. So this is year number 48 as a public official for Foster Campbell. Actually, when you get down to it, if you count the years, it's for year number 49. It's just like when you turn 50 years old, you're actually starting your 51st year, not your 50th. But Foster Campbell is a man who has been around the block, and every January 6th, he celebrates his birthday, and 1-6 took a different meaning with the insurrection of 2021, and now 1-6-23 will be remembered as the date that Kevin McCarthy, on the 15th ballot, the Baptist from Bakersfield, California, became the Speaker of the House and had to make many concessions to get there. Foster Campbell, I suspect you were doing other things on your birthday, but political junkies were probably watching their favorite cable channels Friday night. And Kevin McCarthy is the man in charge. Steve Scalise is number two, and they are acolytes of the former president, Donald John Trump. Your thoughts about what happened on 15 ballots to get to the finish line?
I have no idea. I don't know what kind of deals he made. He evidently did everything he needed to do, or he had to do, to get elected. That was a long time. But anyway, he was persistent. You have to give him that. I don't know what he gave up. He didn't want to give up. Hopefully not too much. But I've never seen anything like it. But hopefully, I really hope that maybe that the Democrats and the Republicans can see some kind of balance and get to moving together on some of these things instead of fighting on everything. It's ridiculous.
877-217-5757 for Foster L. Campbell, Jr., the most resilient of Louisiana politicos, and he is in office for another term. He was elected a few years ago, but still has 4 years remaining on his term, and then who knows, there might be more in the offing, but it's one election at a time, as it is for everybody, and through the years, there have been a few elections, and Foster Campbell, back in the year of 1988, was almost elected to the U.S. House of Representatives. He lost in one of the closest U.S. House races in Louisiana history to Jim McCreary. And if he had won, of course, he would have served on Capitol Hill probably for a long time. But Foster Campbell, I'm sure you remember 1988. You were in a hospital bed, I think, when the election took place, fighting for your life.
Yeah, I don't mean to laugh. Yeah, I was. The first day or two there, when I got to the hospital, of course, my right eye was out, and I had torn retina in my left eye. And for a couple of days there, they didn't know that if I was going to be able to see or not. It was a touchy situation. As you know, I was on the wrong road, and I got a lot of criticism about being on the wrong road. And a lot of tough things were said. You know about it, and it was right in the middle of a campaign, and of course the Republicans jumped on that and said I shouldn't have been on the wrong road, which that's true, but the irony of the whole deal, I was on my way to see Buddy Romer, who I really didn't want to go see, but Don Kelly lined up a meeting with me and Governor Romer at that time, and I was a little late getting down to Baton Rouge, so I got up on the interstate there to make a little time. What nobody ever knew, though, they had three wrecks in the same place the same day before they ever put a barricade around it. But that's all right. I did it. It's my fault. And I lost my eye and lost the race on account of it. But that's life. I've dealt with it and gone on and been able to serve in some other places on the Public Service Commission. I think I've made a difference. Never lost my fight for working people. I'm on the Public Service Commission, I've always been very pro-consumer, and I've made a difference, and I'm glad I've served there. It's a good place to serve because you get to help people every day on utility bills and problems that they have that sometimes are forgotten by big companies. But anyway, that was a long time ago, and that's one of those deals.
It was. And I recall that March of 88 when Romer took office. You were in the hospital. Sammy Nunes had a quintuple bypass. He was the Senate leader who was sacked by Buddy Romer in favor of Alan Barrez. And right. Greg Tarver was shot 9 times by his wife, Sabrina. And all three of you made amazing recoveries and came back to serve that year in the Louisiana legislature. But a listener asked a good question, and it pertains somewhat to the kinds of fights that you saw between Nunes and Barrez, for example. What kind of horse trading is involved to become the Senate president, if any?
You're talking about in the Louisiana Senate?
Yes.
I don't think it was much horse trading. It was just that Romer, at that particular time, Romer came in, and... I don't know. The fellow's passed away. I don't want to say anything negative about him, but he couldn't get along with the Senate too much. And Alan Barrez is one of the nicest fellows that's ever served there. Totally honest, good guy. And he was chosen by Romer to be the president of the Senate. But Romer got some signals mixed up early on. He was basically... Well, he would tell people something, and it didn't exactly come out that way. And that happened 2 or 3 times, and that pretty much sunk the ship. What you have to realize back then in the legislature, I don't know how it is today, but if the president of the Senate tells you something or the governor tells you something and it doesn't go that way, first time that might be a mistake. But if you keep doing that, you lose all your people that support behind you. That's the way it was back then. So anyway, they voted to for Nunes over Barrez, and I voted for Nunes over Barrez because, you know, Sammy had treated me good and always told me the right things that I need to hear to help me and help the people I represent. But I really hated Barrez, now that I look at it, was one of the finest men I've ever served with in the legislature. Totally honest, from Lafayette. And he didn't get beat. They didn't beat Alan Barrez. They beat Buddy Romer. It had nothing to do with Alan Barrez.
Yeah, eventually Barrez was removed and Nunes was put back where he was. And that was
right.
A big defeat for Romer. And
right.
It was the legislature.
But it wasn't about Alan Barrez at all. Everybody liked Alan Barrez. It was a vote against Buddy Romer.
And all these people are no longer with us. Isn't that something? And that is something for those of us who are there. We can remember vividly. And another listener, Tracy at the Capitol, notes that that the person you lost to for that congressional seat in an extremely close race by about a percentage point was Jim McCreary, who, according to Jason Redman, who would know, the former aide to John Kennedy, was a college roommate at Louisiana Tech of Senator Kennedy. And last week, Senator Kennedy said no go to a race for governor. Did that surprise you?
Not at all. I knew that was baloney when he started talking about it. He was just trying to get people to get a little more publicity out of it. I understand that. I guess I understand it. You couldn't have pulled John Kennedy in that race with two 1,200-pound mules. He wasn't about to get in that race. He wasn't going to give up the United States Senate for governor. He never that was all baloney from the get-go. But now we'll see who gets in the race. They said they had some people that wasn't going to run if Kennedy ran. And so we'll see what happens. I don't know all the players. I don't know any of them. I do know, I understand. I don't know what Billy Nungess was going to do. I didn't know much about him. I knew his dad. I liked his daddy. I thought he was a good fellow. But I don't know who's running and who's got what's going to happen. This is probably going to be a real interesting year in Louisiana because I think you'll see a lot more people get interested as time goes. I don't think there's any clear winner now. And so I think there'll be a lot of people getting involved.
We'll be back with more Talk Louisiana after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Foster Campbell is with us, and the Public Service Commissioner, former state senator, is one of the most eloquent and no-holds-barred speaker in Louisiana politics, and he is at your service. We've got several emails. Your number, if you'd like to call, is 877-217-5757, and emails to talk at talklouisiana.org, and we will reflect a bit more about the governor's election, but I did want to note that yesterday I was coming back from a meeting in Tampa, flew through the Atlanta airport, and on the plane to Baton Rouge, one of the pilots was a guy named Luke Mixon. Foster Campbell, that guy on paper was a great candidate. He was Naval Academy graduate, a war veteran, a farmer from Bunky, Louisiana, a conservative Democrat, and he got clobbered, and he was the first to say it was a disappointment. But we need people, whether you agree with his politics or not, we need more people like Luke Mixon running for office in Louisiana, I think. What do you think?
I think he was a nice gentleman. I think he was a gentleman. He got mixed up that Gary Chambers got in that race, who pretty much destroyed Luke Mixon's chances of being in the runoff, and it was a shame. Mr. Chambers, I don't know him, but he had no chance of winning, but he did one thing. He made sure that Mr. Mixon was not a serious candidate by getting in that race. He took a lot of African-American votes off of Mr. Mixon that would have voted for him. It's a shame. Because how could you be better qualified? You're living in the central part of the state, Bunky. I knew his folks. They had a Pontiac dealership down there one time. I knew his uncle. They were farmers. The guy went to Annapolis. He served in the war and landed planes on a ship in the middle of the night. What kind of courage he had. And he got humiliated by just getting beat. And it's a shame. But anyway, that's the way it is today in Louisiana. If you're not a Republican, you really have a hard time getting elected. That's a tragedy because there are fine people in both parties, and we'd like to see people vote for the guy instead of just their party all the time, but that doesn't happen. I've been guilty of that myself. But it gets more and more divided. It doesn't bring anything together. You just get more and more divided. If you're a politician, I know the last time I ran, I had some parishes where I got beat 80-20. And I'd worked hard in those parishes for the people. And speaking of parishes, I live in Bossier Parish, which is now a straight Republican parish. I got beat in my home parish here. I've lived here all my life. My daddy came here in 1930 to open up a business in Bossier Parish, and I got beat in my parish 55-45 after I created a $70 million endowment fund for schools. But it doesn't matter. I got beat by a guy from Wichita Parish who never came to Bossier Parish. He was on the Polish jury in Wichita Parish. He was a Republican. That's all it took. And no matter what I've done and what I've said for Bossier Parish, I got beat 55-45 simply because I'm a Democrat. And I understand that. And it goes both ways, but it's not healthy. And hopefully one day people will start voting and working together and doing the right thing, voting for the people they think are the best. Not everybody does that, but I can tell you, it does happen. Some parishes, I got beat, West Carroll, 80-20, Caldwell, 80-20. They're just Republican parishes. That's all it takes, win parish, no matter what you do and how much you go there. They pretty much vote for Republicans, and I understand that, but it's a shame. It's a shame. It's not healthy.
A Louisiana trend, and that's how Donald Trump has won two races in Louisiana by 400,000 votes, and it's not going to change, and it takes a special candidate like John Bel Edwards with the luck of an opponent who, in his case, he had an extremely wounded opponent in David Vitter first time, and then the second time he had a novice in Eddie Rasponi. That's the only way a Democrat wins in this environment. And so that brings us to the governor's election. But before we get there, another listener, we've got, as I said, the most enlightened audience in radio. It wants to remain anonymous. Okay. But says your dad, who came to Bossier in 1930, your dad was actually a service station owner, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had a filling station. We call them filling station, service station, whatever.
Was he?
Yeah, he did.
Was it Texaco?
No, it was Exxon.
Exxon.
The one that I've trusted the most. He had four of them, but he was an Exxon dealer for 40 years and made a living, sent everybody to college, and worked hard, and I came up going to the filling station at 6 o'clock in the morning. They closed at 9 o'clock at night, and he worked 7 days a week. So I know about service stations, and I know about big oil companies, and I know how they treat a lot of times they're the people that lease from them. They're pretty brutal. Mm-hmm. They want you to sell their products, and they're tough. They got a government line, and they pretty much
It was Esso then, wasn't it?
Esso, yeah.
Yeah, what was
Esso?
That was Tony the Tiger, wasn't it?
Put a tiger in your tank? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But anyway, I have some good news. If you've got a second, that I'm real interested in. Have you got a second?
Certainly.
President Biden has a bill on his desk right now to put all jailhouse phones back under the FCC. And that would, but their rates are much lower than the present rates that we have in Louisiana, and they supersede the the state rates or the rates we have. So it'd be good news for thousands of people in the state of Louisiana, good news for people all over America that the FCC regulates them rather than state regulating. I've been trying to reduce jailhouse phones for a long time. You cannot get by the Louisiana Sheriff's Association, who are not for reducing them because they get a big fat check every year from jailhouse phones, and they're pitiful how much they charge. There's a lot of greed there. A man wants to call his wife or wants to call his children. They charge four or five times the normal rate, and the sheriffs get the money. They say they put it in their budget. I understand that. But anybody who has somebody incarcerated that wants to talk to their family or their wife, they ought to be able to do that without being punished. And that's what this bill's doing in Washington today. It's on President Biden's desk. I feel sure he's going to sign it. And it's good news because you can't get that done in the legislature because the sheriffs have the power in the state of Louisiana, and they're always against it. The reason they're against it is that they want the money. And look, I'm no preacher, but you can quote the Bible to them, and they're all, the sheriffs are, they're good people. Most of them are big, they're big in their church, and I understand all that, but the Bible's real clear about that when it says, well, this is Jesus now, this ain't no disciple, saying, when I was in jail, you visited me, you gave me something to eat. And at the end, the guy says, well, Jesus, you ain't been in jail. He said, you don't get it. What you do, the least of these, you do for me. And what we've been doing for the least of these Louisiana incarcerated is we're putting our foot on their head, and we're squeezing every drop of blood out of them. If you don't believe it, ask them how much it costs for a honey bun in a jail. They sell honey buns for $2.50
in jail.
You can buy them at Walmart. In jail. If you want a honey bun, they're $2.50. You can buy them for 50 cents at Sam's or whatever. They make money off of honey buns. Or if you would happen to want a Snickers bar or something that crazy, it might be $2.50. It depends. They make money off these prisoners by selling them water, honey buns, all that stuff.
We do have some folks who are waiting in line to talk with you, as always. 877-217-5757. Kelly in St. Francisville. Kelly, you're on with Foster Campbell.
Yes, Commissioner Campbell, have you had an opportunity to talk to newly elected Commissioner Devonta Lewis? And have you been able to talk with him about issues that are important before the commission?
Yeah, I have. He's a nice guy. He's a nice fella. I talked to him about a day after he got elected, and I've talked to him since then. I look forward to working with him. He seemed very reasonable to me. We had a nice visit, and we're going to work together. I want to work with him, and he has some good ideas. He was I don't want to beat a dead horse, but he was a real big proponent of doing something about jailhouse phones, and now that Biden has done that, it makes life a lot easier for a lot of people. But I look forward to working with him. He seemed like a nice young man.
But you liked Lambert Boissier. He got clobbered. What happened?
I don't know. I don't know. This man had a lot of support. I do know one thing, though. Utility rates are high. They're high, and people were real mad about it. And then when you're the public service commissioner, you're supposed to be doing something about high rates, and you can do everything you can do, but sometimes you can't control them. And I think he was blamed with the utility rates going high. And, you know, there's not a whole lot that you can do about it. You can fight. We're doing everything I can to reduce the rates as energy's trying to recover all the storm damage. I didn't vote for it last time. I'm not going to vote for it this time. But they're coming back trying to recover $1.6 billion. And all they're going to do is add on to their already high electric bills. I understand they're a company, and I understand that they have to make money. That's under our rules. They have to make a certain amount of money, monopoly. But you got to realize these people are a monopoly. Nobody can go in business against them. So you got to weigh that. That's a huge weight there, a monopoly. Nobody can go against them. You really have to ask some tough questions.
877-217-5757, another quarter hour to go with Foster Campbell, observing 20 years on the PSC, and we'll be back with more after this quick timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Still time to get in with Foster Campbell, Public Service Commissioner for 20 years, prior to that 27 years in the Louisiana Senate. 877-217-5757. And talk at talklouisiana.org. Bill Huey asks Commissioner Campbell if he thinks cable providers, monopoly cable providers, should be regulated by the PSC. He claims they go up on rates every year without much notice, and the product, in Bill Huey's estimation, is not good. What do you think, Commissioner Campbell?
Absolutely. I think I would like to see it regulated. I also would like to see internet regulated. Those are two entities that cause a lot of problems. They help people. Of course, we have to have the internet. We're fighting like hell to get everybody internet. But it ought to be regulated. There I go. I'm a Democrat. Now, all Republicans say, well, I don't want to interfere with the free enterprise. To hell with that. I'd love to regulate them because they jack people around all the time. We have to call. We don't regulate them, but we call for people who call our office and try to get them help. Sometimes they're very unreasonable. They do go up, and if you don't like it, don't use it. And that's a shame. And they ought to be regulated. Congress ought to regulate the internet. We need that.
All right.
Because people call me all the time, ask me what I can do about the internet. I said, I'll call and let me try to help you. But we don't regulate them.
Stuart downtown. Stuart, you're on. Good morning.
Thank you, Jim. Mr. Campbell and the audience, good morning. Mr. Campbell, Would it be cheaper to for the Entergy to bury lines slowly at a time over the long haul?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to it, but we're trying to get Entergy to get their system up to date. There are some strong indications. I'm just saying this is an indication without any proof yet that their lines maybe not are what they should have been. And you have all these storms and they have the damage. But if they wasn't prudent with keeping their lines up, maybe we shouldn't pay for all the damage. You see what I'm saying? Now they're coming back. They got $3.1 billion for the first part of all these storms they've had. Now they've had a lot of storms, $3.1 billion. Now they're coming back asking for $1.6 billion on top of the $3.1 billion, which makes it like this $4.7 billion, almost $5 billion. That's going to run the rates up for the average person about $20 a month for 15 years. That's if you use 1,000 kilowatts. And now many people live in Baton Rouge with bigger homes are going to be paying $25 a month or something like that. But to answer your question, if their lines and their poles and all their paraphernalia was not up to speed, that's their problem. That's their problem. They should have had them up to speed because we want them to keep them up to speed. Now they want to put all new lines down and everything, and they want to charge it to the consumer. That's a problem, and I think that's what we're going to be talking about in our next meeting, which is Wednesday week in Baton Rouge. There are people who are on the Public Service Commission. There's only five members, but I know there is considerable problems with redoing a system that should have been in better shape, to put it sort of simply.
All right. Mitchell and Sherwood. Mitchell, you're on with Commissioner Campbell.
Good morning, everybody. Mr. Foss, I want to ask you two questions. Why is Entergy charging people for gas and they're all electric houses? And are you running for governor, and why not?
Well, Entergy has a gas system too. It's not all just electric. They have a small gas company. To answer to your question, I don't know why they're charging people gas and if their house is all electric. But I do know the Entergy company has a small gas company in the Baton Rouge area. So to answer that. All right. But listen, I'm up here trying to do my best as a public service commission. That's what I'm trying to work on. It's a full-time job. But I appreciate you calling in. I can tell the people who are listening, Entergy is under the microscope. And we have some commissioners that really want to know some answers to tough questions. So that's good news. Good news. I think for the first time in a while, the public service commission is going to take a real hard look at Entergy before they give any more rate increases.
All right. Now, Foster Campbell did run for governor in the year of 2007. The election was won by Bobby Jindal. And tomorrow, Billy Nungesser will announce whether he's running, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to discern his comments made last week on this show. Didn't sound like a guy who's ready to pull the trigger. So if he doesn't run, and Garrett Graves doesn't run, that means Kennedy said no, Cassidy said no, Nungesser probably no, and Graves we'll see. But Jeff Landry would have the Republican field to himself, with the possible exception of John Schroeder, who remains relatively unknown despite being a statewide elected official. A listener asked the question, could that mean the comeback for one Bobby Jindal, Foster Campbell?
Oh, I hope not. I hope not. Nothing personal against Bobby Jindal, but if you have to ask me who's the most ineffective governor we ever had in my history, it's got to be Bobby Jindal. No. If he comes back, I think people had enough of Bobby Jindal. That's just me talking now. Maybe some people, I offended you, I apologize, but I don't see any way he can get reelected. Any way in the world, I don't see that anybody pulling for him. I don't know anybody that's for him. So he might can pull a rabbit out of a hat, but he'd have to do it.
Well, today, by the way, is the 110th anniversary of the birth of one Richard Milhouse Nixon, and he was a guy they counted out. In fact, he even said himself when he lost the governor's race in 1962 in California, "You won't have Nixon to kick around anymore."
I remember that.
6 years later, leader of the free world. And 6 years after that, Watergate. So you never know in politics. And Bobby Jindal, at 51, by today's standards, he's a baby. Who knows? Maybe we're going to see the comeback kid, the man who lives.
Well, we might, but I'll be real surprised. I'll be more surprised about that than I was you when I told you that there would be no way John Kennedy gets in this race. There's no way you could pull him in that race. That was just all talk. And I told you, I gave his speech. I can give it to you. I can give you a little speech. Right. I love Louisiana. I love the people of Louisiana. But the people in Washington and the country, they just need me more. So I'm going to stay in Washington. I could have wrote a speech for it. That was just like, I knew that's exactly. My God, I love the state of Louisiana. I love the people. But I can just do so much more in Washington than I can in Louisiana. So at this time, I'm going to stay in Washington, straighten out this mess that we have up here. We've got a terrible mess up here, and I'm one of the few that can straighten it out. How's that?
That's not bad. If Senator Kennedy's listening, he's probably taking notes. David in Atlanta. David, you're on. Good morning, sir.
Commissioner, there was some progressive Democratic legislation recently passed that gives wonderful tax credits for people to switch to more energy, environmentally safe appliances, like hot water heaters. If you switch to electric, you get a tax credit. Yeah. If you put a heat pump in, you get a $2,000 tax credit. This is very good for the environment. Is the commission doing anything to promote this changeover to more energy-efficient, less polluting appliances like stoves and so forth in people's homes?
Well, I'm sure, I don't know the answer to that specifically, but I'm sure if there's a way to do it, we are. Let me tell you something. I have voted for everything from wind power to solar power, you name it. I have been along with the leader on the Public Service Commission. I think it's great. I'll do everything I can in the future to promote a renewable energy. So that's something that we certainly have to look at. We might be doing that. I don't know the answer. But I know that we have a lot of solar power going on in my area. It's North Louisiana. I know of five huge projects right now that's going on. Mm-hmm. And I understand they're doing some on in Dolly Hills, which is where they mine coal. SWEPCO and CLECO both had a joint partnership there with mining coal, lignite. To make electricity, but lignite is too expensive, so they're going to a lot of solar there. So renewable is a number one at the Public Service Commission. I know of four, maybe everybody, but I know of four solid votes that are looking for renewable energy. We know it's cleaner. We think, look, a lot of the oil and gas people are a little bit upset about it, but there's plenty of oil and gas in the state of Louisiana, not oil, but natural gas. We can work with them. They're going to be able to sell it, but the people need clean energy, and it's going to be cheaper. We're already getting wind energy in North Louisiana from Oklahoma, and the bills are cheaper. So certainly we are doing everything we can to be as progressive as we can with making the right decisions for us, clean energy.
We only have about 20 seconds, but a listener in Lafayette, Rosemary, asked about Katie Bernhardt, the Democratic Party chair in the state, is apparently polling about possibly running for governor. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I have. She's a fine woman. I like her. I loved her daddy. She's capable. She's a very capable person. She's a lawyer. Her husband's a lawyer. They come from a good family. If Katie Bernhardt runs, I would vote for her in about 2 seconds.
All right.
I like her a lot.
Foster Campbell, always a pleasure. We'll talk again soon, I hope, and keep going.
All right. Thank you.
First Financial Tax and Accounting Services provides signature support. Stay safe and stay tuned.